although I'm at a loss in explaining it.
Maybe some things are unexplainable, Agent Einstein.
Welcome back, everybody, to the X-Cast. The truth is in here. I'm your host, Tony Black, and we are continuing our look at Babylon, which is the fifth and penultimate episode of the X-Files Season 10 run. And once again, I'm joined for this episode by Andrew Brooker.
Hello!
Hello! Last time we were not so kind on Babylon.
That's a really nice and polite way of putting it.
This time, we're also not going to be nice to Babylon. Just to let you know, so, you know, if you love Babylon and you're expecting us to maybe sort of be a bit more, you know, nice to it, on the whole, you're going to be disappointed. We're going to focus this time on Agents Miller and Einstein in this episode. And to be fair, I do have a couple of nice things to say about those guys. So maybe you want to cling on for those. But it's still going to be quite difficult. Speaking of people who said nice things, there is actually been some positive feedback about Babylon on Twitter.
Okay.
Yeah, I know. I'm just as surprised as you are. But this is from Adam Silver at The Silves. And he said, in response to whether or not Babylon was a classic or terrible, he said, "I wouldn't say classic, but certainly not terrible. I really enjoyed it, and I think some of the criticisms are way off base." And he was backed up by Lee Zhu at Karukera34, who said, "I totally agree with you, Adam." So there's a couple of people there who are a little bit more positive towards it. And, yeah. You know, this is the whole thing. I think it stands potentially to be, you know, Adam didn't explain why he really liked it, but it could stand to be one of those episodes that does divide opinion and does split people down the middle.
In fairness, when I said it was bad, I didn't explain myself. I said it was just awful, awful, and awful.
True.
You know, so I can't say, well, I'm not going to have any of that because he didn't back himself up, because neither did I at the time. Well,
oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he doesn't have to, but
no. I can't see anything redeeming about it, though. This is the thing. I mean, these two weren't too bad and were an interesting choice of direction, but even then, I wouldn't say they redeemed the episode at all.
No, I think really you've got an episode which is just fundamentally flawed, which is trying to say things that don't necessarily emerge in the way you want to and the way they wanted them to. And I think really Miller and Einstein, who we're going to talk a little bit more about, are key examples of this, because obviously they were championed quite heavily before the run started, that they were bringing in two new agents who were going to be in it for at least one episode. And in this case, they're played by Robbie Amell, who plays Miller, and he's the brother of Stephen Amell from Arrow, isn't he?
Is he? I saw the name and thought that they can't be, they can't not be related.
Yeah, because I think if I'm right, and I'll admit I don't know masses about this DC verse, but I think he plays Firestorm on The Flash and Arrow, and now on Legends of Tomorrow, which is the new the new show that's launched, the third show. I think I might be wrong about that, but
I admit it's one I'm trying to keep up with it. I haven't done anything. I haven't watched any of it since the mid-season break, and I haven't watched any of Legends of Tomorrow yet, just because I can't. I'm not sure I can bring myself to be honest.
Yeah, it could go either way. I like those shows. To be fair, I really like The Flash. I liked Arrow, what I've seen, but I haven't seen much of them, so I'm not fully versed. But I do know that he's related to Oliver Queen, aka Arrow. So yeah, he's an up-and-coming, he's relatively well-known now in the TV field, as is Lauren Ambrose, who's been around for seemingly a while. She's, you know, she's never quite, you know, become a massive household name, but she's been around for a while, and I think she obviously plays Agent Einstein. And I think really what I came out of thinking is I feel a bit sorry for them both, because I think they are actually better than the script they're given.
Yeah.
As actors and potentially as characters, although the problem is really Miller and probably Robbie Amell is not nearly ever going to be as interesting as Mulder, because he doesn't have that charisma.
No.
And I think Lauren Ambrose just plays Einstein a bit too shrill for Scully.
Yeah.
And I think if she toned that down, I said this in my written review, if she toned that down a little bit, then she wouldn't be a bad shout for a rebooted X-Files one day to play Scully.
The problem is that they're playing parodies of the character instead of trying to be new versions of them.
Mm.
Do you see what I mean?
Mm.
I didn't find them believable. They weren't bad, and as characters they were okay, but like you say, much better than the script they were given. The problem was the script was so poor that it brought everybody down with it.
It really did. It's the equivalent, really. If you think back, it's the equivalent of casting Miller and Einstein when Mulder was abducted at the end of season 7 and having Scully partnered with Miller for the first, like, 10 episodes or whatever, and then Einstein coming in halfway through, like Reyes did, and having them instead of Doggett and Reyes. Now, Doggett and Reyes weren't loved by everybody, but at least they were both individual, different kinds of characters, and they weren't carbon copies at all of Mulder and Scully.
No, in fact, what them being, well, I mean, Doggett especially being completely different, it made us give him a chance to see if he could do something with it. Again, scripting didn't really allow it, but you know, we were willing to believe with Doggett at least for a little while.
Mm.
Not so much this time around.
Well, the problem is that their entire existence is facilitated to make a point as opposed to actually being a story point or a character point. They exist because Mulder and Scully are pop culture icons.
Yeah.
That's the only reason they exist. You know, it's if you look back as well at other attempts to do this. Do you remember Agent Harrison in season 8 and 9? I don't know if you remember this character. Layla Harrison, who was a character who was a bit obsessed with the X-Files. And she's at the end of season 8, and there's an episode where Mulder's back by this point. It's called Alone, I think. And they end up going into this basement where there's this creature that can see in the dark, and he's coming for them like this gribbly. And at the very end, she's with them, and she asks them how they got back from the Antarctic when the snowplow in the film, Fight the Future, ran out of gas. And it's the little in-joke.
Yeah.
Because they both they look at each other as if to go, Yeah, and she crops up then in Scary Monsters, I think, in season 9. But she was very much a character who was there for the point of being an X-Files obsessive.
Yeah.
And kind of was almost like a fan within the character. But she didn't entirely work, but at least she wasn't a complete parody.
Didn't Duchovny's other half play a parody of the Taylor Leone and someone else?
Gary Shandling.
Yeah, that's it. Done Mulder and Scully season 7, didn't they?
Yeah, because it was Hollywood AD. They played Mulder and Scully in the film version of their life. Looking back now, it's mental.
It's a very Scream-type episode.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it absolutely daft as anything Hollywood AD, but it was fun. It was fun. You know, it was when they were... It was the bubble bath episode with Skinner in the bubble bath. And they had that three-way conversation in the bubble bath.
But that's kind of what I meant with the previous episode. I don't mind and quite enjoy X-Files when it goes wacky. You know, wacky X-Files I really enjoy. Mm. But the thing, obviously, we'll talk about Chris Carter and his weird ideas later on. But this took wacky and put it in a completely out of context moment that was awful.
It kind of tried to be that with these two, but without really fully tipping the... You know, rolling the dice on it. I felt a bit sorry for them because I think that fundamentally their characters were not essentially characters. But ironically, they seemed to get more development than Mulder and Scully did, which I thought was strange because obviously they come into it having come, you know, they come down to the X-Files because they're looking to try and find out about this bomber. And then Mulder and Scully basically play a long con on them and decide to trick them both. And teach them a lesson, effectively, don't they, really?
Yeah.
That's effectively what it's all about, really. And you've got Scully trying to, you know, explain her side of the coin to Miller, who's like a proto-Mulder, although he's a shit proto-Mulder.
Oh, he's terrible.
It's like he was just an underwear model who happened to go, oh, I'm interested in the paranormal. Maybe I'll become an FBI agent.
That's what he is. He's an old underwear model that's got his hands on someone's X-Factor folder.
Yeah, you know, at least David Duchovny. Yeah, okay. I think he was a model beforehand. You know, and he's got those. He had those looks when he was that age. But at least he had a charisma, and he had a gift for a comic timing, and he had that hangdog dryness to him.
He owned it from the first second he was on screen, though, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you know, Duchovny's not the greatest actor in the world, but he's good at what he does. He only really does one thing, but he's good at it.
There's Mulder and several shades of sarcasm.
Yeah, exactly. That's it. That's all he can really do, but he's good at it. Yeah. Whereas Robbie Amell, nice enough guy, I assume. Yeah, he's not. He doesn't come across like a dick, really. Except that moment with Scully, where he's a bit callous.
Yeah.
But apart from that, he's just, there's nothing to him, is there?
No, he's a cardboard character, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's just there to fill in a bit of space.
Yeah, effectively. And, you know, that's why I think Einstein was a bit more interesting, because the actor's better. You know, Lauren Ambrose is a better actor, and she gives it a bit more welly. But I think they tip her, unfortunately, slightly to the point of... Well, if you think about it, right, what Chris Carter's saying is, this is Mulder and Scully when you remember them back in the day, right? Yeah. When they were that age. But it's not true, because Scully was never that shrill and...
No, she wasn't.
She was never that shrill and rude, because she is at times. You know, Einstein's like, well, fuck you, you know, you don't know what you're talking about. Scully was never like that.
No.
And equally, Miller has no passion for it. It's like somebody's told him he should be interested in the paranormal. Do you know what I mean?
His mum forced him to do it.
Yeah, exactly. You like all that alien stuff, don't you? Don't you? Don't you, Bob?
Yeah.
I'm assuming his name's Bob. We don't know his first name.
No, it must be. He looks like a Bob.
He looks like Bob. Bobby Miller.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work. It didn't ring true, you know. And I don't know if it was meant to be parody. This is the point. I don't know if they were meant to be a parody, or it was meant to be an in-joke within an in-joke, or it was meant to be that they're genuinely kind of suggesting that these guys could be Mulder and Scully's of the future and take over the franchise. I don't know.
It is possible that maybe, because the other thought I had was, so let's take, for example, Mulder and Einstein and the magic mushroom thing.
Mm.
Do we think that they've kind of maybe just been inserted into the episode to give Mulder someone to talk stupid ideas to, because Scully just wouldn't have any of it anymore? And we've grown a bit tired of watching him convincing her.
It's maybe. It's
time to watch him convince someone else.
Maybe.
Do you see where I'm going?
Yeah.
I can't think of... It might, like you say, it could be parody, it could be an in-joke, but either way, I didn't get it.
No. No. Exactly. That's because it didn't work. And
no.
But I think the Mulder and Einstein scenes are more interesting than the Miller and Scully ones, because I think... They're pretty much flatline, because those two don't have any... Their relationship is not even remotely interesting. You know, there's a slight hint of Miller being a little bit sort of taken by her, I think, at points. Like, he's a little bit in love... You know, not in love with her, but he's a little bit sort of... You know, she's the old... She's quite an... Yeah. But they don't really run with that at all, you know?
No.
You don't get flirty Scully here, really. And you get some very bland moments with those two. At least Mulder and Einstein, there's a lot more of, you know, her challenging him and him, you know, admittedly talking bollocks to her. But, like, that was a bit more interesting.
Did it seem a bit Deus Ex-y to you that this dude suddenly spoke Arabic?
Yeah, actually. What was that about?
I was with the FBI in Iraq. No, you weren't.
No.
You suddenly speak Arabic because Chris Carter clearly didn't know how to finish this episode, so made it so that
the plot
spoke some Arabic, and now you understood it.
Yeah, the plot requires you to speak Arabic. Yeah,
yeah, completely out of the blue, just because I needed to be able to speak Arabic. This is why I speak it.
Mm.
I completely backwards. I hated that.
Yeah, it didn't. It didn't make any sense really. As well, going back to the dream sequence, you've got that moment as well, haven't you, where Mulder is on the alien abduction table, which, if I'm right, is the same table that you see in Dwayne Barry,
yeah.
I think, which is a nice little callback.
Yeah.
But Ambrose is there, isn't she? And she's Ambrose. Einstein is there.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, berating him while he's on that. And was it my imagination, or was she dressed a little bit like a dominatrix?
She was. I had no idea what that was all about.
Do you think that was Mulder's sort of, you know, old affectation for porn coming out a little bit there? It could have been, couldn't it?
The auto-erotic asphyxiation rearing its head again.
Maybe. I don't know. It was, you know, we'll talk more about that dream sequence in a bit. Because there's a few things to unpick there.
Yeah, there's a lot there that needs explaining, I think.
Yeah, but yeah, so she was there. So obviously there's that, you know... Dare I say, slightly creepy element as well. There, you know, if she's like half his age, And she's dressed up like that.
And just the noises he was making. I don't know, mate. I don't know.
No. Yeah, that's what you get by the end of this. And then obviously you get, you've got whatever the plot is, really, which is this really just ham-fisted, you know, take on all this. But then finally you get that scene with Miller and Einstein where they basically work out that they've been had, effectively.
Yeah.
At the very end. And, you know, they sort of reaffirm their partnership, almost, don't they?
Yeah.
In that. And like I said, I was just sitting there thinking, I think there is potentially the opportunity to make you two characters beyond being these sort of parody things that have been created to make a daft point.
Yeah, absolutely. If it had been, if that bit where they realise what's happened, it's an airport there, isn't it?
Mm, yeah.
If that little scene had happened at the end of a much better episode, it would have been easily and quite nicely, actually, the soft pilot for maybe a spin-off show for them.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
You know, as you realise, actually, they're going to be quite a good team together and they can, you know, like we got, but a little more jammed into 5 minutes where it was, you know, over the course of, you know, a few hours in early X-Files episodes with Mulder and Scully. It was a nice little moment where they were, you know, they were brought together, but not at the end of that episode.
Exactly. I've got to say, though, calling her Einstein, though, is, you know, I mean, Miller's one thing because it sounds like Mulder, but calling her Einstein, it's yet again another extremely sort of nod. And they even mention, don't they, in the script that Scully wrote a thesis on Einstein, and Einstein says, oh, yeah, I'm sort of distantly related to Albert Einstein. And I was thinking, this is just, again, to make the point we made in the previous episode, where it's all about very much being a parody of the original show. It's just like, why? I just felt like saying, why are you doing this? You know, why do we need to make Mulder and Scully into these? I don't know how to best explain this. Why do we need to have episodes and characters that are underscoring a point we already know? That Mulder and Scully are classic, that the show is classic, that we love the original series. Why do you have to do things that make it look silly?
It's almost, it feels like a really poorly thought out in joke, doesn't it?
The
Einstein thing. It almost like, the worst part of it is, if they'd have just left it at Einstein, everybody would have had a giggle and then moved on. But the fact that that Chris Carter felt he had to explain why he'd called her Einstein in the very next sentence.
Yeah.
It just seemed like when you watch really bad comedies and everybody that's writing the script knows that no one's going to get the joke.
Yeah.
So it's explained to you.
He knows that it's not enough of an in-joke in order to play. It's the equivalent of, do you remember in the Bond film, Quantum of Solace, the Gemma Arterton character was called Fields, Agent Fields.
Yeah.
And there was a joke in there that she was named, her parents were Beatles fans. And you only find out in the credits at the very end that her first name is Strawberry, right? That film's not perfect, but that script didn't feel the need to go, oh, well, you know, my parents named me Strawberry, to make that joke. Everyone got the joke as soon as she said, or most people would have got the joke as soon as she said, my parents were Beatles fans.
Yeah.
That we didn't need that in the script, you know, and then at the end, if you see the credits, you have a little chuckle because you're like, oh, yeah, Strawberry Fields.
But importantly, if you don't get the joke, it doesn't matter. It's not important to the film. It's not important to the script. At this point, we have the same thing with this Einstein joke. If you don't get it, it's fine. Her name's just Einstein. It doesn't need to be explained.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the whole point with this. That was what it was trying to do for the whole thing.
I mean, it is unfair to say that it's doing that lowest common denominator thing, because it's X-Files and it's not. But it does feel like it's pandering to an audience that he knows isn't going to understand his jokes.
Yeah, the audience that he's trying to chase by doing a lot of this stuff, because he wants to appeal to an entirely new fan base, and and that's why you've got people like, as I mentioned previously, my friend saying, well, why isn't this the same kind of show? And it's like, well, it's not that it needs to be exactly the same kind of show. But when it starts actually, you know, eating itself, effectively,
yeah,
you want to go, well, just stop a minute, right? Just make the show, make it properly. Make the X-Files, and people will come. Don't make this kind of in-jokey, parody-ish, up-its-own-ass crap.
Yeah.
Because you'll lose people. You know, a lot of people after that would have gone, fuck this, I'm not bothering with this again. They will have done, and you won't. They won't watch next week.
You know, if this had been a 22-episode season, yeah. I would probably stop after this.
Yeah.
The fact that it's only got one episode to go, if it turns out to be absolute garbage, it's only going to waste another hour of my life.
Exactly.
But, you know, if it had been a 22 or 24 episode season, I'd have gotten to this episode and gone, you know what? Bollocks.
Yeah.
I'll grab it when it goes on demand, and if I find time, maybe I'll watch it.
Mm.
You know, and that's a big problem for an X-Files season, and a bigger problem for an X-Files fan.
Yeah.
It's poor. All around, I think it's poor.
That's exactly... That's a good final summing up of this, and... in terms of this episode. So we'll leave it there. Next time we'll be talking more in depth about Chris Carter. And basically, you know, you'll probably be able to tell our tone really with this. But yeah, we'll go into a bit more depth on him. But until then, thanks, Andrew.
Thank you very much for having me.
Always a pleasure. And do keep in sending your thoughts about Babylon and the X-Files season as a whole, you know, and we'll do our best to read them out on the last few episodes we've got left. So until then, remember, trust no one.